Dub Nation. How about that win last night? How about that win?
Was that the best win of the year?
It's one of them. It's one of them.
I thought that might have been one of the most comprehensive games the whole team has played. Like, not a Steph Curry drag us across the finish line, although he was excellent in the second half. Wiggins was outstanding. Maybe the best game of the year for him. I thought GP2 was excellent. I thought Kevon Looney was amazing. Even Buddy Hield hit a three that kind of got things going early on, made a couple of nice passes. It felt like a very team-wide win. Pajemski hitting big shots, making nice plays. It was a who's who.
Well, you know, Andrew Wiggins had a really solid season. And the reason why we're scoffing at his average, we'll get to it later, but I want to start here. You know, you brought up something yesterday about cleaning. We want something to cling on to in terms of fandom and players. We want to love again, right? We want to cling on to somebody. And driving home last night, I thought to myself, boy, why are we not clinging on to the guys with the championship heart, the championship mindset? And I start with Kevon Looney and GP2. Now, I know what GP2 is. Some nights he's going to have it. Some nights he's not. But championship heart. 5-5 from the free throw line last night. And then Kevon Looney. You know, we talked to him on the postgame show last night. And we watch him warm up every single game. And he's hitting jumpers. And he can do so much more. And he sacrificed for the betterment of the team. But I think about Kevon Looney, a game like that where it's physical.
Mm-hmm.
Bodies are flying around. He comes up with 4 block shots and 18 points. We've traded him. We've DNP'd him. We've started him. He's come off the bench. He's been the odd man out. He's been the odd man in. But championship heart. And that's something I cling on to, Shasky. All through the years. And I was a sucker for those Giants teams. Ryan Vogelsong and Travis Ishikawa. And you know, some of those guys, Juan Uribe, Edgar Renteria, Marco. You go down the list. Championship heart. I think as fans, we want to change so much. And we want something different. And we want to get excited about something. And, you know, part of the reason why people want to trade for LaVine and Vuk is because they want to see something different. They want to see something new because they think it's going to excite them. But how come we don't cling on to our champions around here a lot better than we should be? You know, we should be clinging on to these guys, especially a guy like Kevon Looney, who's the ultimate warrior. And if he does get traded, a championship contender should be all over that. Because he knows where to be in the right spot at the right time, and he's not going to get rattled in the biggest moments of a basketball game, whether it's the playoffs, the NBA Finals, or Game 58 in the regular season. But championship heart is something I cling on to, and I thought driving home last night, damn, time in and time out, Kevon Looney shows his championship grit, championship spirit. He doesn't have it every night. There's some nights he just doesn't have it athletically. He may not get up and down the floor and Steve Curry yank his ass and play him 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes, maybe just a straight-up DMP. But boy, when he has to dust them off in the biggest moments of a season, in the biggest moments of a game, time in and time out, Kevon Looney shows his championship grit and championship heart. And that's something, Shasky, that I keep clinging on to when it comes to Loon Dog.
Oh, it's really well said. I think a lot of people, if you just asked Warrior fans, if you went around that Chase Center, I mean, does anyone have a negative thing to say about him?
No,
but I think this is more a byproduct of the league that's, you know, Adam Silver set up. Like, everybody's got to be slotted together so we can get these Jenga pieces and these puzzle pieces together to make trades. And so the whole league is set up to where you have to cling this guy to that guy to this guy to this guy. And it's trade machine era. I mean, look at the big stories in the NBA. De'Aaron Fox wants out. Jimmy Butler wants out. Zach LaVine, it might get dealt. Like, none of it is about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dropping 50. Like, if you just go to the headlines of ESPN.com, NBA.com, like, it's going to be all of the chatter about transactions. And so I think it is more a indication of the league as a whole.
But just as players, but just this is our fan base, and these are our players, and we know who's getting in and out of the lineup with the Golden State Warriors. We talk about them ad nauseum. And it's just too many times where our championship players were so quick, and I get it, he's got an expiring contract. I'm just taking Looney, for example.
Yeah.
But those are the type of players I would think that fans would always cling on to and love no matter what. And you know, when you talk about loving somebody, I don't know if you make a trade and all of a sudden we're going to start loving Zach LaVine or Nikola Vukovic or Vucevic or whoever it is. You know what I'm saying? We love Dennis Schroeder and all of a sudden 2 weeks later we're saying get him off our team. Buddy Hield can't catch a break around here. And everybody can't stand Buddy Hield right now. But when he was lighting it up in the first couple weeks of the season, boy, we're all Buddy Hield fans. We're ready to get Buddy Bucket jerseys. But Kevon Looney is his trusted agent who's been here for a decade. for a decade.
Yeah, but I think everyone's going to love that person, you know, in perpetuity. You know, I look at someone like a Donald Foyle, you know, and I think Kevon probably more resembles someone like a Donald Foyle than anyone else. But he has the championship medal where it's like, I see a Donald Foyle and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's a forever warrior. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I view him. And he's one of those guys
that. You Ludi like that?
Why wouldn't you?
All right, I'm just asking. I'm curious.
I mean, why
I would. You? I would. I just don't know. I just don't know because of the.
I think 99% of people are like, dude, Kevon Looney's a great player. Right. But I also, like, a great player in the sense of I want him on my team. Right. I think what ends up happening, and this goes back to, like, you talking about the Giants, when a Mike Yastrzemski's batting the 3, 4, or 5 hole, like, you're miscasting that guy. And I think, unfortunately, Kevon has been a byproduct of the rest of the roster being hollowed out. He's been elevated to a role that, to your point of some nights, he just doesn't have it. And it's unfair. And people are angry. And they take it out on him. In an ideal world, he's a perfect backup center.
Absolutely.
But on this team, he oscillates from starter to heavy minutes guy to backup center to DNP guy. And they're searching. Last night, Quentin Post played, what, five minutes? I don't even know. What did he play?
He played 8 minutes. Okay, he started a game yesterday, and he basically came out with a clean sheet.
He had a couple of turnovers.
0 points, 2 turnovers, 3 fouls. Okay. Not 1 rebound. He didn't even attempt a field goal.
Well,
so he's on a scouting report now.
Well, I mean, this is what they did last night. They were like, Hardenstein, you go over there. You guard somebody over there, and we're going to put a guard on him because we know he wants to pick and pop, and this is where the adjustment for the young man comes in. Dog, get on the block. Like, use the size mismatch advantage when a Jalen Williams is guarding you. Get down on that block, back him down. But he doesn't have a great back-to-the-basket game right now. I mean, the best player on the team for back-to-the-basket, I can't believe I'm saying this, it's Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson was awesome yesterday.
It's okay.
But it was a great – no, he had a good game yesterday.
Solid. 1 of 4 yesterday, 3 rebounds.
He had a couple big shots.
He hit the one big shot. He only scored 2 points last night. It was the fadeaway jumper. It was a fadeaway jumper that he had because he had to throw it up.
I thought he got fouled and went to the lane a couple times.
Yeah, there are 2 points. I'm looking at the
statue. Oh, wow. I thought he hit free throws.
No, he didn't even go to the free throw line yesterday. Kyle Anderson, he was 1 of 4 from the floor, 0 of 0 from the free throw line. He had the one basket. It looks Slow-Mo's trying out there. I don't think it's the best fit for Slow-Mo. I don't think it's the best fit for the Golden State Warriors, but he provided some moments that you got to look deeper into the box score. The box score is not going to tell the story on his performance yesterday. Thought he dribbled the ball well. Thought he played defense well. He's long and athletic. The same with Dennis Schroeder last night. Dennis Schroeder, 9 points and 7 assists off the bench. But I thought he was able to control tempo and really get tenacious on the defensive end. I thought he scrapped last night, especially in that third quarter. And the run started really, I know the Thunder were up 13 in the second quarter, but the Warriors had cut it to 2, cut it to 4. Closed. And they were starting to close in that second quarter. Then OKC kind of goes on a run. And Wiggins 3 before the halftime buzzer. That's another guy that I want to get to because I know he's been a topic of discussion around here about maybe that's the guy you dangle. Maybe that's the guy you trade. And you know me, Shasky, I'm really hesitant on trading good players like that. In today's modern NBA, where would you be without Andrew Wiggins? Now, we talk about his 17, 18 points a game. It's not enough on this team because we expect Steph Curry to score 26, 27 a game. But that's not happening because of the injuries. No. And Steph is down to 22, 23. So all of a sudden, you need more from Andrew Wiggins. But ideally, on any given season, if Curry's Curry and he's the prime Curry name we grew up to love, man, he's 17, 18 points a game. We're taking that to the bank. But you need a little more for Wiggs. And last night, I think he got a little more with a season high tying 5 made threes, 27 points. He played 38 minutes and 21 seconds. In the back end of a back-to-back.
He was awesome.
This guy's playing his ass off for the Warriors this season.
I thought last night, in terms of offensive aggression, was his best game of the year. It's so easy to be that aggressive every night. But, like, this is what the team needs. I mean, he hit a little, like, funky off-foot left-handed layup in traffic. It's like, wow, where's that been? Hit the dagger 3 late in the game. But to me, it was the consistent aggression to go to the rim and go strong. The last couple of weeks, I felt like when he takes it to the rack, you know, a strong gust of wind has knocked him over. In this one, no, he looked a lot stronger. Now, he's got the big tape thing on his shoulder, so clearly something's going on up top, right? But I thought his shot looked really pure yesterday. It really did. And they didn't really have an answer for him. If they're going to play Lu Dort and just try to hack a crap out of Steph Curry, well, then that opens it up for him to take advantage against some of the smaller defenders.
Yeah, no doubt.
If Wallace or Joe gets matched up on him, you got to attack those guys. Their roster, OKC, is just nice.
Where they're stacked. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was a rookie when the Warriors beat the Clippers in the first round in 2019. He was a rookie on that team. And the Clippers traded SGA and Danilo Gallinari and five future first-round picks for the services of Paul George. And I think it's safe to say the Paul George Kawhi era didn't work out well for the LA Clippers.
No.
Won West Finals, a couple duds in the first round, and now he's in Philadelphia. Now, they did beat Sacramento last night, but Paul George didn't play. SGA, 52 points last night. He outscored the Warriors in the first quarter alone, 21-20.
What do you have, 30-something at half?
Yeah, 31 at the half.
He's ridiculous.
He puts the ball. He's shooting a little more. He's shooting a little more from the three-point line this year. Last year, he shot about 3.5 threes a game. This year, he's up to 5.5 threes per game. So he's hoisting it. I think that's due to Chet Holmgren only playing 10 games.
Yeah.
But he gets to the free throw line at will. And sometimes he gets a very beneficial whistle.
Well, there's one where I think it was Pods came flying by him. I didn't think Pods touched him.
Yeah, but he goes 18-21. And I think him going crazy the way he did, his other teammates couldn't get into rhythm.
I would agree.
And you look at Jalen Williams, who's a very fine player from Santa Clara.
He's so fast,
so athletic. He's a monster. I think he's an all-star this season, but he scores his 26. But outside of that, the rest of the starters score 10. And then you only get 21 bench points. Yeah, no doubt. So you get Hartenstein, Wallace, Dort, a combined 10 points.
If you told me Isaiah Joe shoots 100% against the Warriors, I know he missed it three late,
right,
but I still don't believe it. If you told me he shoots 100% against the Warriors, I would believe it.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's so pure.
He's so pure, so quick.
Even
17
the Wallace
off
the guy's a good player.
No, Wallace, they got a good squad.
Like, now, where did he come from?
I think OKC, from just watching them last night, the Warriors won a season series 2 out of 3. Which is crazy. You know, you see some people online. I'm listening to Evan on the post-game show.
And what's he saying?
Some people believe that, not Evan, but some people believe, hey, man, if the Warriors get to a playoff series against the Thunder, you never know. So that's what a win can do for the fan base.
One thing that I notice is with Shea's an awesome player, but this is a deficiency for the Warriors currently. When you don't have a two guard that forces the other two guard to play defense, all his energy is ready to roll on offense. And you can see it, like, he really wasn't worried. He got matched up a couple times on Steph, a couple of times early in the game on Quentin Post. But for the most part, you know, he's able to relax on defense. Simultaneously, they're trying to hunt Steph, right? And you can see that wears on you, which goes back to the Wiggins thing. You know, Wiggins takes on that top assignment night after night after night. And so not only do the Warriors need a two guard to take some of that perimeter defensive pressure off of Andrew Wiggins, they just need somebody who can strain the top dog on the other team defensively as well.
Well, you know what? When Kuminga comes back, I'd be very intrigued to see if Steve Kerr goes Steph, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, and a combination of Looney, Post, TJD, who, by the way, didn't even play last night. He was a DNP, coach's decision.
I didn't even recognize that.
Trace Jackson Davis.
Oh, I didn't even recognize
I do want to see, though, go back to that bigger lineup that they started the season with, and they aborted mission very early, injuries, and tried to tweak things. But I do believe Kuminga and Wiggins can play together. And I do believe having them on the perimeter defensively is going to cause teams hell. It will. But can you go to that lineup and have Wiggins play the two? He's hitting the three very well this year. Now, in the month of January, he's down to 32.5%, but he is averaging 19-5 in the month of January.
Yeah, he's been good.
Playing over 31 minutes a game. I mean, Andrew Wiggins has had a stellar season. But again, you get the Looney's in the world who's always ready. By the way, Wiggins 38% from three this year. I just don't know, man. I just don't know what Mike Dunleavy's going to do here at the deadline. Well, I don't know what Joe Lincoln's going to do at the deadline. But, man, when we talk about moving some of these players, just remember their championship heart, because it means something in that locker room. It means something with those players, and it means something when it comes to coaches' trust. Steve Kerr trust Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney, and Gary Payton II. No matter what we see on the floor, Steve Kerr trust these guys. And time in and time out, they come through for Steve Kerr. So the championship heart was on full display last night at Chase Center.
That's really well said. I just think the problem is that, like, Looney and GP2, for example, they're role players, right? But on this team, I think that their impact has had to be, you know, it's just a bigger impact. You're asking these guys to do too much, and that's why I use the word miscast. Like, you know, GP2 on a winning team, you don't want him play. I don't know what he ended up with last night.
He played 25 minutes last night.
He was excellent.
But Steve Kerr mentioned that he's, you know, usually, hey, man, he's going to play about 10 to 12 minutes. Steve Kerr wants him to start just to set a defensive tone. Now, he played 25 minutes last night. He's not going to play 25 every night. He's going to be between 10 and 15 minutes. He's been forced to because you've had 28 different starting lineups. 28 different starting lineups. You know, all last season, you had 27 different starting lineups. So you've already surpassed last year's total. Inconsistencies with the lineup. Injuries have had a big part to do with that. But if you could just stabilize your season, can you get greedy win Friday against Phoenix? Can you win on Monday against Orlando and all of a sudden go 6-3 during this critical 9-game stretch before hitting the road? Let's see what happens, folks. We got 8 games until the deadline. 8 games. It's coming rapidly.
Let's, on the other side, get into the Andrew Wiggins thing when it comes to just the trades and whatnot and why his name keeps popping up more than others. Because I think what you're saying, everyone is nodding their head and they agree with. The problem is that the other guy whose salary would match up in a lot of these deals, I don't think other teams want.
We'll get into that. That's all coming up. By the way, shout out to everybody on YouTube. It's a victory. 888-957-9570. Come on, Dub Nation. Just don't call in with the losses. After a loss, call us when they win. They just beat the best team in the freaking NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you didn't think they could do it. Hell, I didn't think they could do it last night. They outscored OKC 68-51 in the second half to get this huge win. Now you get a day off. You welcome in Kevin Durant. The Phoenix Suns are a mess right now.